Yeah, I think we'll be. We'd like to welcome everyone here. The first item is to get some food and eat, so go for that. Thank you.
told Wendy that if you want to get food, you guys have to do it. I'll do that if you want. I had him there with Saratoga Springs. For 8 years, he wanted to go to Africa. And we used to meet at 11 o'clock. And I had a 30-minute drive. I would get up to 12:30. It was the only restaurant in Saratoga Springs for a long time. My big economic development. And then we got a Del Taco. And so about half the time I could go to Del Taco because they were open 24 hours. But he loved having a French fry, a large fry, chatting it up. He didn't even wear a shoe. He wore these toe shoes, I think. So they look like socks, but they're like vinyl and toe. He'd walk around and bring his dog in and help him bring his dog in. But first, we were just in a trailer. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Thanks. We'll get this back to you.
Okay.
At least this. This we're going to keep. We'll put in a little history memory box or something. This is for you, by the way. Here's your box of mail.
All right.
I'm sure there are Christmas cards and stuff.
Where's your tie and
chocolates.
I gave him
from Lisa.
From Lisa.
Perfect. And I'll get this taken care of and return to him once it's been reconfigured.
If we can get the council to come up, we'll get started here.
Are they?
Thank you to the North Salt Lake Police Honor Guard. And Chief Black, thank you. Welcome to the what we call the work session of our City Council meeting. The first item we've got, our next item is swearing in of newly elected officials, and I get to do that. So, one at a time, should we go down there? Let's start with Ted. Raise your right hand to the square and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Ted Knowlton.
Having been appointed to the office of City Council.
Having been appointed to the office of City Council.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge my duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Thank you. Get a picture. You have to, Linda said, make sure you get pictures.
I was taking pictures.
And then you need to sign your life away. And that's your picture. Suzette, you want to? Well, he was appointed.
This time he was appointed.
Let the minutes reflect that change.
Yes.
I,
Suzette Jackson,
having been elected to the office of City Council,
having been elected to the office of City Council,
do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend,
do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend,
the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
and the Constitution of the State of Utah,
and the Constitution of the State of Utah,
and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. Let's get a picture. Tammy, come on down. I, state your name.
I, Tammy Clayton.
Having been elected to the office of City Council.
Having been elected to the office of City Council.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations. Okay, that was awesome. Yeah. Our next item is we'll start our regular work session. And our first item there is recognition of Stan Porter for service on the Jordan River Commission. Is Soren Simonson here? Stan, do you want to wait? Okay, we'll... the next item is the monthly financial report for the period ending November 30th, 2023. Heidi?
Thank you. I'm just going to grab the clicker real quick. All right. This is a financial report for the period that's ended November 30th, 2023. In your packet is the full report as well as a summary. And I wanted to take a minute to just go over the first page of that summary and explain some of the information. It's going to be the colorful pages that look like this. So looking at general fund revenues, and just to point out, this summary page and this report, this very first page covers essentially the data that's in the first 10 pages of the report in a summary format, so you can easily compare different areas of the budget year over year. So year-to-date general fund revenues are at $3.2 million, you'll see, of total $13.8 million, compared to $4.8 million during the same five-month period last fiscal year. And that might seem like a big difference, and it is, and the difference is in that highlighted line item that is intergovernmental revenue. And what that is going to be our grants. So that is showing the ARPA money coming in, which expired last year. When you hold everything steady and pull out those one-time grant funds for this year and last year, the year-over-year growth is actually a slight decline in year-to-date revenues of 1.2%, which is kind of the first time we've seen that in the last 3 years. So I wanted to point that out. So in comparison, the difference between 2021 and 2022 during the same time period was a $400,000 positive. So this time last year, we were $400,000 ahead of the prior year, which was an 8.6% increase. Not to worry, we're watching everything. We're well in line with budget. We did budget for flat revenues. We're seeing exactly what we expected. And I know I keep bringing this up, but I want to make sure to point these things out as things that we'll be looking at and discussing as the budget season starts up here in a few weeks. When you look at the top 10 revenues, you can see that of that $13.8 million, 12.7 of it is covered in those areas: sales tax, property tax, energy taxes, justice court fines, franchise taxes, and permits and planning. And when looking at it for the top 10 comparison, you can see that we're down a little bit compared to the prior year. And that's mostly going to be in that permit and planning. And I think I alluded to that a little bit in the memo, that that might be an area that we might need to revisit and revisit those revenue projections sometime before the close of the year. On that same first page, the second half, the right-hand side of the report discusses expenditures or presents expenditures. So total general fund expenditures is 14.679 for fiscal year 2024. As of November, we have spent the $6,095,000 compared to $6,046,000 last year. And this is due to a number of reasons. You can see we spent more last year, but the transfers out was a higher amount. That's because we were transferring some excess revenues out already to our capital projects fund, which we did not plan and budget to do this current fiscal year. Other areas of note on expenditures are increases in parks and recreation. You can see that amount looks quite a bit higher. That's due to a number of reasons. There was some increased spending for Liberty Fest, although there was offsetting revenues. That was $100,000 with $50,000 in revenues offsetting. We do have two new positions and some additional areas. So if you take a look at pages 9 and 10, you can see the detail of all of those different parks areas and kind of see where those expenditures are coming in. And then last, at the bottom, it shows the current year budget revenues, budgeted revenues over expenditures, and where we are at year to date compared to prior year to date. And again, when you pull out that $1.6 million that we received last year, we're pretty much in line with where we were at prior year. So everything's tracking. Nothing is unexpected, but we are kind of seeing what we predicted. And so I wanted to make sure that you had that information, that we talked, especially with the new council members, discussed a little bit about these reports, because they're really critical, and they're a nice little snapshot of what's happening in the larger report. And were there any questions?
I've got a few from a concerned citizen.
Okay.
There's the first item was governing council books, et cetera, went from zero to 18,000.
Yes. So we changed which department that was recognized in. That used to be recognized under the chief administrative officer's budget, but this is what pays for Utah League of Cities and Towns fees and things like that, and was more of a legislative body expense. And so that line item was just moved from one budget to another.
Okay.
And that happened, I believe, in 2020. I think that would happen last year. So you should have seen that starting back in fiscal year 2023.
You made reference to Liberty Fest, but that was another question.
Yes.
Do you want to go into any more detail on that? Or?
So Liberty Fest, there was some more expenditures this year. We did an extended fireworks show. We also tried, had a sponsor where we hosted, had a revenue offset with some events that we hosted on their behalf for their employees. And so customary to general accounting principles, we recognize both the revenue that came in as well as the expense instead of just offsetting them. So Liberty Fest did overall have a higher budget this last year than it did the year before, but a lot of it was related to the presentation of that event, the way it looks on the books.
Okay. Miscellaneous council went from 663 to 7,500.
I'm not sure what that exact line item is, but I can look into it. I don't see a miscellaneous line item under governing council. I don't. Perhaps it's operating supplies. That looks potentially familiar. I can get more information and look into that.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I think it might be related to council meals and dinners and expenditures, if it is related to the governing council budget. But I would have to get more information.
Okay. And then the last one was parks operating supplies.
Parks operating supplies.
That went from 14,000 to 32.
14. I would have to take a look at that one as well to see specifically what was going on with that line item.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be happy to report on that either back directly to the city council, and we can go from there.
Okay. Super. Any other questions for Heidi? All right, thank you so much, Heidi.
Thank you.
Next item would be going back to the Jordan River Commission, recognizing Stan Porter, and we'll turn it over to Soren Simonson to present that.
Thank you, members of the City Council. May I invite Stan to come up here? I understand you've just had your swearing-in ceremony, and he's officially been replaced on the City Council, but he won't be replaced by us as a great friend of the Jordan River and the Jordan River Commission. I wanted to just read a letter from the commission to now former council member Stan Porter. Dear Council Member Porter, on behalf of the Jordan River Commission, I wish to express our deepest appreciation for your long service to your community of North Salt Lake and to the Jordan River Commission as a member of its governing board, executive committee, and as a former chair and vice chair. We are very grateful for your efforts and for providing your vision, leadership, and many, many contributions to preserve, conserve, restore, and improve the Jordan River Parkway and its watershed. We wish you many years of enjoyment in the future and express our appreciation for the stewardship and improved access that will benefit many generations to come. I will just add to that, Stan has been, I think, the longest serving member of the Jordan River Commission. I know he was a long, long standing member of the City Council here, which predates the existence of the commission and has been involved with the Jordan River Commission from its inception in August of 2010. I don't remember exactly when North Salt Lake joined the Jordan River Commission, but it has been one of our long-serving communities and partners of the commission. For those that aren't familiar with the commission, it's basically a partnership of all of the government agencies, from local governments to counties to state and federal agencies, that have any jurisdiction over the Jordan River or in some way contribute to the health and stewardship of this watershed. Stan was also involved in developing what I think was the first major project, Porter's Landing, the boat launch just off of Center Street at the Jordan River, which led to a whole initiative to develop what we now call the Jordan River Water Trail. And over the last 4 or 5 years particularly, we've had over $4 million invested from Lehigh all the way to North Salt Lake in improving river access. And so this wasn't just improving access for your community, but also really leading and paving the way for so many improvements happening around the Jordan River to allow people to access this incredible natural resource and to help learn to become better stewards of it. I want to share with Stan, and I'll show it to all of you. This is a picture from a few years ago taken by Neil Franti, a great friend of the Jordan River. We want to share this commemorative photo with Stan to put somewhere where you can remember the work that you've done. And I'll leave this letter with you here as well.
Thank you.
I don't know if you'd like Stan to say anything. If not, please join me in applause for his tremendous work.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity I had to serve on the Jordan River Commission. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed seeing the improvements come and hope to continue to see them continue to improve as it's been going on for this long and keeps improving each year. And we've always had a fun time on the river with the Get to the River Festival, now we call it. So hope that continues on in the city and we have total support for it. Thank you. Show my picture off.
Thank you, Soren, and thank you, Stan, for your years of service there. We now will adjourn, and we can't continue until 7 o'clock, so feel free to mingle and enjoy each other's company. You know, on second thought... It's a mayor's prerogative to change his mind. Why don't we go through...
that's right.
Yeah. Let's go through minutes and utilize the time. So let's start with approval of the City Council minutes of December 6th, 2023. Is there any corrections to that or...
Mayor, seeing no amendments to them, I make the motion to approve the City of North Salt Lake City Council meeting and work session minutes of December 6, 2023.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Action items. Is there any additions, corrections, subtractions from the action? I always hope for subtractions on the action items.
Mayor, I was looking at them and noted the items 10 and 11 of current, and was wondering if there was any update on those, just because it's been a while, and wondering when, how we ought to come back to those. Item 10 relates to park strips and city-owned property and improvements to those pieces of land. And item 11 relates to the review of alternatives for uses of city-owned properties at City Hall parcels and Hatch Park. Maybe not so much Hatch Park, but the other properties for 11.
So I'll take 11 because my name is on number 11. This project began with an initiative from the League of Cities and Towns, who partnered with Zions Bank for a program that was called Your Land, Your Plan. Several staff members attended trainings on that, including myself and Sherry and others. And so we were able to get quite a bit of information about possible ways to use city property. We didn't take the project any further, but that is a great issue, kind of a long-term issue for the City Council to go through an evaluation process of all city-owned parcels and carefully evaluate whether those parcels ought to stay in their current condition or they ought to be used for multiple uses or expanded somehow and used for open space or parks. The question really is, are those parcels underutilized and could they have a greater benefit than they have today? And so we'll put that on our list of items that we will bring back to the City Council, maybe in a work session where we can show you an inventory of all city-owned property. They fall into different categories, and I think there's some value to the council spending some time on some of the properties that are being used for, say, detention facilities today, some that you may not have ever heard of or seen. There, some of them are tucked into different neighborhoods, and we can have some discussion about whether or not those ought to be, whether we have to reinvest in those parcels or somehow use those parcels differently. Did I give you enough time, Sherry, for your answer?
Yeah, and as far as the park strips go, I've been meeting with our code enforcement officer as we talked about some of the regulations related to street trees and how they would be better enforced. And that ties into then what kind of code changes do we need to make the park strips, the RIP to strip program, more feasible and more descriptive on the landscaping that is required. And I just mentioned to John that we need to get together and sit down in a group and go over that, and we can come back and report it at a future work session. We'll put that on a work session list.
Thank you, Sherry. Ken, do you want to go into a little more detail on the Your Land, Your Plan for those that the new members of the council?
Yeah, so Your Land, Your Plan was really is a program where I think it was created out of with the intention that that there may be publicly owned properties that could be sold or partnered with developers to meet the housing shortage on the Wasatch Front, I think is how that started. I wasn't in the creation of that program, But that was one of the elements of the program was cities could evaluate their publicly owned property and make a decision as to whether or not those properties were necessary for continued public use, or if they could be donated or sold to the private marketplace for other uses, including housing, which was one area. Sherry, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
It was kind of a software heavy. It had some really cool things that they showed us where we could analyze different tax revenues that come off of different properties. But it really was, it seems like it was really focused into much larger urban cities that have substantial pieces of properties or that their RDA owns properties. And it just didn't really feel like the right fit for us. And they weren't sure, they didn't seem like, we went to two trainings on them, and I did, and they were both exactly the same. They never took it to the next step to say, okay, what do we do next? And so I don't think that on that end that they did a good job of wrapping the whole idea together for cities. So I think I don't think a lot of cities got much out of that or did much with them.
Ted?
Sherry, I think you're right that it relates a lot to cities that have pieces of land that they've kind of lost track of. They sort of don't have a clear intention for how they're going to use a piece of land. And I guess maybe as a starter question, which I think the answer is no, is do we have an inventory of parcels that we own, and do we have a sort of clear?
We do have inventories of city-owned properties in our GIS layers, and that's from anything from detention basins to small pieces of property that we got that have like a PRV valve on it or some other storm drain infrastructure on them, as well as then our parks and some of the open spaces that we have acquired over the years during development that really aren't parcels we would want to sell for development or encourage development on. So some of them are steep hillsides or sensitive hillsides that we want protected as open space.
Thanks.
But it is something we can provide some maps for you if you're interested.
I would be interested in seeing an inventory like that. It doesn't have to be on a map. Well, that's probably helpful, but that really just says, you know, these are the parcels that are greater than an acre, even. If we've got a lot of these kind of piecemeal public works parcels, those really aren't helpful for any type of development. Because I think it's helpful for us as a city to be able to answer the question, do you have spaces that are underutilized? Do you have spaces that could be developed? And for us to say no, and we've looked, and no, we don't.
And maybe one parting thought on this. I don't think I don't think we need to limit ourselves to the question of which would we want to dispose of, if you will, for development. It could be parcels that we think we might want to put to a different use, even if it's a public use.
Okay. Any other questions on action items? Okay. Let's adjourn and reconvene at 7 o'clock.